I went the wrong way. And then I went the right way and it showed me the camera. That was shocking. I will start off my testimony by reading this verse that the Lord, or this little section of scripture in Romans 3, verses 23 through 26, that as I was thinking more about what I was going to speak this morning, for some reason, the Lord took me to this. And it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about justification and how when we're justified, when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, that's when we're saved, right? I was thinking a little about the man that was crucified with Jesus, and I think Kim touched on it a little yesterday, and about how there were two there, right? And one of them wasn't saved, and the other one was saved. And I was thinking about how the one that was saved, he never had the opportunity to do anything good, but he believed in Jesus, and he was saved. And I know a lot of times we think we have to do work for Jesus, right? And he already did it. He already did it for us. We're saved by our faith in him. And I love this verse because that's what it's saying, right? He's already done it for us. And I'll work it into my testimony when we get there. But I just wanted to say that because I grew up in a family that considered themselves Catholic. But they weren't practicing Catholics. We didn't read the Bible at home. We didn't pray. And I'm a crybaby, so I'm sorry. But we didn't pray. But somehow, God took a man and who was Caucasian, and I was in a Spanish-speaking family. And I was thinking about that. He took this man, he taught him Spanish, and he was not even from our town. And he brought him to our town, and he took him to my home. And I guess he just had a heart and a love for the Spanish-speaking community. Because whenever he'd know, and I know this, you know, from all the other Hispanics that were there, whenever he knew where there was someone that spoke Spanish, he would go to that house and he'd take a Bible. And it wasn't like a one-time thing. He kept revisiting the people. And I was there, and he'd come and talk to my parents. I think he was trying to reach my parents. But I would sit, and I would listen, and I would ask questions. And the other miracle that I know happened is my parents were very protective. Mexican parents, we protect our girls. We don't want them out with anyone. We want to keep them safe. We don't allow sleepovers. We don't allow people to take them in their cars, you know, especially not a man. And I don't care if he says he's Christian. We don't allow that. That's kind of how it works when you're, like, brought up Mexican. That's the way. And for my parents, when he asked, "Can I take her to church?" to say, yes, that was a miracle. And that was God's hand in it all for them to say, yes, she can go. And so my parents let me go with him to church. And I remember he'd give us a message, and he would do Quanania with everybody that came, and it was all of us Spanish speaking. The message was in Spanish. The songs were in Spanish, and we'd all eat together afterwards, and he'd teach the message. And, I mean, the worship was in Spanish, and to this day, and I, for a long time, I didn't know the song, and then I heard it at our church one time, because there was this song that I would look at him, and he would sing the song. And he would sing it, but he would close his eyes. And it was just the way he worshipped. And I think about your message. It's like the way he worshipped. And when every time that song played, he would just close his eyes and he would look up. And the way he worshipped, it was like he almost glowed. And the song is "How Great Thou Art." So every time I hear that song, I can just see his face. And I can see the glow in his face. Later on, I went and I looked up the words. And now I'm like, I understand, you know, now I know why he he loved that song and why he worshipped in that manner. But he took me to a baptismal in the Baptist church. He was a Baptist pastor. And when they were baptizing the people, I was there watching them. And the Lord caused a feeling in me. And I don't know what it was, but I just wanted that. And after the baptismal, he drove us home because he would pick us up. He would give, I mean, I when I think about it, he would have to go pick us up before the message. Then he was the one that taught the message. He's the one that did the worship. But he would do all that to get us there. And he took us to that baptism. And afterwards, he was driving us home. And you know, you don't know what other people feel, right? But I was in the car with them, and I remember telling him, I want to feel what those people felt when they were being baptized. I want to feel that. And he goes, you want to feel that right now? I said, yeah, I want to feel that right now. Mm-hmm. And he stopped the car on the side of the road. It was a small road. It was not, you know, that big, but it was a city road. He just stopped the car on the side of the road. He goes, let's pray this prayer with me. We prayed the sinner's prayer. It was between 10 or 11 about the time this happened, and we prayed the sinner's prayer in our car. And at that point, I know I was justified. That's where I work my scripture in. So I was justified at that point. But the enemy, he attacks. And they started rumors about him in the Mexican community because he was a loving man. He would put his hand around the women, but it was not in a manner that was disrespectful. It was in a brotherly, Christian-like manner. But again, Mexican men, they don't like you touching their women. Daughters or wives, don't go there, especially if you're a man. So anyways, my dad's like, you're no longer going there. We heard he hugged some of the girls, and we don't want that going on here. And so immediately, I was taken out of that. And they put me in the Catholic Church. I made my first communion. I got my confirmation, and I got married in the Catholic Church, and I baptized my children in the Catholic Church. I participated in a lot of things in the Catholic Church. I even taught catechism in the Catholic Church. And I think the reason I was so involved in church even then is because God was reaching out to me. As I kept going, when I was teaching catechism, I think I taught it, I don't remember if it was 1 or 2 years, so there was a man in our group, and I was teaching with the deacon's wife, and there was this man in our group, and he asked us, what do you have to do to be saved? And the deacon's wife responded, everything that's in here. Everything that's in here. And I was thinking about that. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. There is no way. I mean, you look in here, thou shalt not lie. That's broken. You know, you shall not want the things that belong to others. There you go again. And so all of these things that are here. And I was like, no, there is no way. And then, you know, it's amazing how God works on our lives. We start getting convictions about things. I would listen to music, and somehow the Lord helped me pay attention to the words, and I was like, oh my goodness, that is not right. And so I started flipping radio stations, and the Lord took me to 91.3 KDKR, and I would go to work, and I would put the radio station on, and the pastor that was teaching during my travel time was Pastor Leo Giovanetti from California. And Leo Giovanetti, he kept pushing these things, read your Bible. You must read your Bible from beginning to end. And he goes, and I would look at the Bible, and look at the Bible. It's a big book. And I would look at it, and I was like, there's no way. And then every day, and then sometimes he'd be like, there's people that read through it 3 times in a month or 3 times in a year or something. And I was like, uh-uh. You know? And then I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? He keeps saying, then he would be like, and don't start in the middle. It's a love letter. Start at the beginning and work yourself through the end. He goes, if someone sends you a letter, you don't start it in the middle. You start it at the beginning. And so I thought, okay, maybe he's got a point. So I started reading the Bible, and I started listening to the message. KDKR, it's awesome. If you're listening to, most of the pastors there are Calvary Chapel, and they're inductive, so they go verse by verse through the Bible. And so I started listening to that. Then I would start looking for TV shows where they taught the Word of God. And it's like the Lord started leading me. And then at work, someone invited me to a Bible study, just like casually. Hey, you want to come to the Bible study during lunch? I mean, I know none of that was coincidence. I know the Lord was like coming, or, you know, from everywhere, just coming to try to help me to get closer to Him. And so I started going to the Bible study. And it was, we were doing a scripture, a book, Listening to God. And I remember I would take the book home, and you were supposed to read scripture and then write what it told you. And I would go back to the Bible study, and the women had these beautiful answers. And I was like, anyone want to share? I don't think so. What he told me was literal. It was like the same thing that I saw written, that's what I wrote back. But these women were coming up, you know, with some stuff. I'm like, Lord, help me to listen. Help me to understand. And He's faithful, because He does. I mean, if you listen to Him and you stand your ground and you read the Word, God will help you. We all have the Holy Spirit in us. And then He brings more help, you know, because like me, He got the radio station, He got the TV, I mean, not in the television too, and then this prayer group, and you just ask, Lord, I want to know You. If Your word is true, show me that it's true. And you just ask that, and if He knows our heart, He knows that if we desire to know that, He will meet you. You know, it's just like she was saying, when they were going in the road with Jesus, and he was going to keep going, but they said, stay. It's the same with us, right? I want to know You. I want to meet You. Show me. He will. He's faithful to do that. He's very faithful. And so that happened. Then I decided, well, now we have to find a church that teaches this, right? And so the only church that I've been to outside of the Catholic Church is Calvary Chapel, Flower Mount. I've been nowhere else. But even that was a miracle of God. Because there's a Calvary in the colony. It's not a Calvary Chapel. Just so you know, I talked to someone, it's one of those charismatic churches, I think that's what they call them, because I was talking to a woman that goes there later. I didn't go there initially, but I was going to go there. And for some reason, like, God spoke to me and said, before you go to this church, Elisa, you're taking your husband, you're taking your children. Before you go there, make sure it's Calvary. And I remember hearing that there was a website. You could go in and put in your zip code, and it would take you to a Calvary. And so I went to that website like 5 minutes before we were getting in the car. And I put in my zip code. I didn't put in my full address, and it took me to Calvary Chapel, Flower Mound. I went back later and put in my full address. And if I had put in my full address, because it takes you to the closest, it would have taken me to Plano. But I put in the zip code, so it took me to Flower Mound. Now, when I got to Calvary Chapel, Flower Mound, and I walked in the door, because my husband grew up Catholic, and I had been listening to the radio, I had been reading the Bible, the Lord had been working on my heart, He was not yet there. So my husband's like, why do you want to go to this church? And I was like, I just want to go there. They teach you the Word of God. It's like you're going to learn stuff. It's not like over here where they keep reading the same thing over and over every year. I just feel like we need to go there. And I remember my husband's like, oh. But he went with me. But all the way there, he was like, I'm just going with you to prove you wrong. And we're recording this. Okay. But that was the concept. He was like, we're going there to prove you wrong. And of course, it would happen that we were meeting at the high school, and there was a bed on the stage. There was a bed. And Catholics, the Catholic Church, that's the church, right? And so we get there, and we listen to Pastor John teach, worship. It's all awesome, but we always sit at the back. But when I first got in there, I was like so frazzled, because it is so hard when you've been Catholic and you've grown in tradition. It's like it becomes so like ritualistic. You do it every Sunday. You're so used to kneeling, to standing. You know exactly what you say in every part of the Mass. There's certain responses, and it just felt kind of odd to come in there and thinking, you know, God, is this right? Am I like leading my family astray? Am I going to ruin them? You know, God help me. And it was just like overwhelming. And that's where I met Him. I walked out of the restroom, and she was standing there. And of course, I was a crybaby, like, no. And she pulled me, and she just started praying with me. I don't know what she prayed, but it helped. Because I was able to go back in, and I was calmer, and I was able to listen to the message. And then we went home, and of course, there was that bed. And my husband's like, why does the pastor need a bed? And I'm like, this is not... It's recording, but okay. I'm like, but this is not his church. They're just renting this place. That's why. And I was like, yeah, I know it's a little odd, but I mean, they're just renting the place. I'm like, and he's teaching good. I mean, the worship's good and stuff. And he didn't want to come. And if anyone knows my husband today, you would never think that, right? Everybody that goes to our church, because he's in there in the children's ministry, he loves the church, you know, and everything. It's just the way God works on our hearts, you know, until he gets us there, and everything. But yeah, so then after that, we kind of, made a deal, okay? Because he wanted to stay Catholic and I wanted to do this. So we decided that we would, like, he would go to his church and I would go, to my, we'd go one time to the Catholic church and one Sunday we'd come to Calvary Chapel. So we worked that deal out. So we started doing that. And then I got to, you know, because Pastor John does in first 5 hours, and I was like, well, now when I come back, I missed that last message that kind of builds into this one. And luckily, I was like, oh, you know, I got a solution. When I look at this, I was thinking, well, the Mass starts after my service is over. So I told him, you know what? I will go with you to your service every other week, and you can come to mine every other week, but I'm going to both every week. You know, I'm going to my service every week. And he's like, what? It's like, I broke a rule at that time. And then for a while, he refused to go. For a while. And then the Lord worked on him, and he came too. Then he said, we just dropped the Catholic Church completely, and we started coming to Calvary Chapel. And I was telling him, I remember the first time that, I wanted to go to the Wednesday service, right? Because we were going through the Sunday service, and they had a Wednesday service. And in the Catholic Church, we don't have a Wednesday service. So I was like, I'm going to go to the Wednesday service. What? We went on Sunday? You want to go on Wednesday? I'm like, yeah, I want to go on Wednesday. And so he's like, but he didn't go. I'm not going. I'm like, okay, fine. And you know, you fast forward time. And I'll never forget that first day. My husband's like, hurry up, and it was a Wednesday. Hurry up, are we going to be late? You know, I was like, Lord, you know, you just, like, show your faithfulness over and over. You look at the story, and I was, like, thinking as I was going back through, because it took about 20 years from the day I was saved, right, to the time when I started walking with the Lord. And what I was thinking about is, like, the day I was saved, like that thief on the cross, that's the day that my name, you know, was like put in permanent ink in the book of life. I mean, I was listening to a pastor say all of our names are in the book of life. And God, they get blotted out, but they all start off there. It's not like the Lord is saying, Jackie, let me put, no. All of our names are there. And I think he waits to our last breath before he makes the determination of whether they will remain on the book of life or not. And when I look back at my year, at 10 or 11, I can say that's when my name was put in permanent ink in the book of life. And God could have left me because my name was already in permanent ink. And I was stubborn for about 20 years, right? But he kept working. And now he's giving me, what can I say, the blessing of walking with him, you know. And that's just, you know, the blessing of knowing him, studying him. I would have never thought I would be at a woman's retreat, and look at it, here I am. I would have never thought I would be helping in children's ministry or serving in children's ministry, and the Lord put me there. And that's just a blessing from him, you know, that he would use us to serve him. Who are we, right, that he would use us to serve him? I'll pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord, even when we aren't faithful to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you seek for us, that you don't let go of us, Lord, that once we've accepted Jesus into our heart, Lord, we are permanently written on the book of life, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you put your Holy Spirit in us, Lord, to show us discernment, to teach us your word, Lord. I pray for every woman here, Lord. I pray that if there's anyone here that is not saved, Lord, that they would make that decision to accept Christ into their hearts, Lord, today. That they would put their own life behind them, Lord. That they would ask you to make yourself real to them, Lord. And that they would see you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.